So we begin praying, asking God to give more wisdom, understanding of His plan, of His mystery, as His love for us, and especially His fatherhood and His mercy. Father, rich in mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask Mary to give us a merciful heart like her, Mother of Mercies, refuge of sinners. And we pray to her, knowing her love for us at the foot of the cross. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was talking with Peter this evening, and he told me that that you prefer that I talk that during the, instead of being in time of prayer. Okay, I can do that. But I think that the most important thing is that you pray. Because if you don't pray, whatever I am saying is intellectual, and it's not getting to the depth of your heart. So the things, majority of things I learned in my life is because God taught them to me through my life, through my own misery, my own weakness, my own failures, and the Word of God, of course. But meditating the Word of God and letting the Word of God to work in me. I mean, we talk about something, try always to do that. When you read the Bible, whatever you are reading, personalize it and actualize it. So making personal, when he's talking to Jacob, he's talking to you, because Jesus, the love of God to the people of Israel is expressed in fullness in the love of Jesus to us. So whatever he's saying in the Old Testament is in fullness in the New Testament. Because Jesus came to make all the Old Testament an amen. Yes, this is the fulfillment of all things. And it's in Jesus. So whatever is said in the Old Testament is said by God to me in Jesus. Because Jacob and all the figures of the Old Testament represent Jesus. And I'm announcing him. So, and we are insert by baptism, we are grafted in some way, in the mystery of salvation, in the mystery of Jesus Christ. So we become children of God, and that is what we are. So whatever is said there is in fullness in us. So every time you take the Bible, try always to personalize or to apply to you personally and to actualize. So now, because God has no time, the words of God 2,000 years ago, God is here and now, is present always. So actualize means making it now real. Depend on your faith. Yes, every relationship with God depends on your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to achieve the mystery of God. Why? Because God has revealed to us, so we answer to Him, we respond to Him through faith. That is the answer He's asking to me. So if I want to come to God, I need faith. Absolutely. I can have an idea of God, yes, but I cannot go in the mystery of God without faith, because faith is a way of giving myself to Him, and only in the communion of God is knowledge of God. So the intellectual knowledge of God is nothing, almost. It's the communal love of knowledge of God what brings us to know God, and that is through an interpersonal relationship that is created by faith and is founded in faith. So in the moment, and all the problems we have is our lack of faith. You have heard to me this a lot of times, but I see in me that if I have more faith, I will be more close to God every day. And I will let Him work in me more. Because faith is taking my ego and my emotional and affective level from the center of everything. It's putting God first. It's a challenge. Yes, it's a challenge to me. And it's a challenge to everyone. It's putting God first. And not letting other things circumstances, situations, action of people, behavior of people, weather, my own health, to take me away from God. Because God is the same, the circumstances, the situation, His power is the same, His love is the same, His mercy is the same, His divine providence is the same, the gifts He wants to give me are the same, but it depends on how I am opening to Him. But if the circumstances of the situation are closing me to God, it means that my faith is very weak, so I am losing faith, and now God is blocked in His action. He cannot work in me, because the contrary of faith, you can read the encyclical of Pope Francis, the first encyclical that was written by Benedict XVI, that is the light of faith. And the contrary of faith is idolatry and selfishness. So we are in faith for stopping idolatry and stopping selfishness. And it's the only way, because it's opening to other. If God is not first in my heart, that is what faith does, understanding who is God, the amazing mystery, unsurpassable of God, and now I open to other, and now I stop being in the center of everything, because it's impossible that if you are not putting God first, you don't be in the center of everything that you are thinking or experiencing or feeling. And now we are blocked because we are created, so our being is created for living from God, in God and for God. You know, when I am not in faith, I am living from me, in me and for me. It's not that God is not there out. No, it's that God is not here in. As the fountain, as the guidance, and as the goal of my heart. And that's what faith makes, is letting God to be God where? Within me. And I stop living my own ways of feeling things. And it's power, because God is power, God is wisdom. And God works in us. This is an expression that I was talking with Teresa coming here, Sanyon of the Cross. More pure is in faith living a person, greatest is the charity infused by God in the heart of that person. So the infusing of the charity is a gift of God. It's an infused by the Holy Spirit, depend on our faith. You can read Romans 5:1-5, talk about that, about how the Holy Spirit is given to us through faith and hope. Because I insist, when I'm talking about faith, I'm talking about faith that includes hope. Because if I don't have hope, I don't have faith. So, because in the moment I understand who is God, I can do only one thing, putting all my desires in Him. And that is hope. So, it's impossible to have faith without hope. Why? Because true faith brings me to understanding the true God. And so the true God is a God that is love, is infinite love, is the fulfillment of all desires, is the one who is bringing fulfillment and life in abundance to my life in this moment. How I am not going to put and trust everything from Him if He has given His Son to die on a cross for me? How? Because I don't believe. And you know, the expression is Romans 8:32. The expression is there. If God didn't reserve His Son for us, how He's not going to give us everything with him? Why? Because the lack of faith is the only reason that God cannot give all to us everything, because the mystery of faith is the mystery of the Son of God. Now, putting our hope, not in general thing, because this is nothing general, it's all about, we have talked about that, about the will of God in the present moment, in the concrete moment. Today, I was the reading of San Irenaeus of Lyon. Irenaeus of Lyon is a disciple of Saint Polycarp, and Saint Polycarp is a disciple of Saint John. So imagine how close. And this is the expression he was using today. Believing is doing the will of God. How a person can make that identification? Yes, because it's how they live, believe. Believing is doing the will of God. And these guys that were, this is martyr also, they had so clear the things. And this expression is the same in St. Ignatius of Antioch. The problem is that we have created a faith that is about intellectual things that have nothing to do with the reality of our lives now and here. Why? Because the most concrete thing that exists is this. And good is always concrete. If it is not concrete, you don't choose. So you only choose things that are very concrete. You are always choosing things and loving and wanting things that are very concrete. If the will of God doesn't become something very concrete for you, you will never choose God. You will always choose yourself. Why? Because we are always choosing what is good.
But good is not a general thing. Nobody chooses a general cake. No, I choose this cake that is the one I like, and I don't like that cake because I like this lemon cake.
I don't like the cake of cinnamon.
For example, for me. I mean, our choices are always concrete, very concrete. So only when the will of God's concrete, so concrete that is the present moment, in that moment we can choose always the will of God. But in the moment we don't understand that concrete action of God in our lives, here and now, we are going to choose other things.
Why? Because these are our choices, sciences, yes.
So is the way into that concrete and understanding the will of God is obedience? Is that...
Yes.
How does obedience...
Obedience is because this will, I have to surrender my will to His will. Surrender, abandonment, however you want to call it. I mean, it's very confidence. It's all a lot of expression, indifference, all these things are for the same thing. It's because there is a will of God that is the only way of holiness, the only way of salvation, the only way of getting in the union with God. And because I want the union with God, I look for His will. The saints, Mary and all, they were only looking for one thing, the will of God. And it's the sum up of all spiritual life. Because only in the will of God is salvation, only in the will of God is the Holy Spirit, only in the will of God is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, only in the will of God is the union with God, only in the will of God is wisdom, power, life, and everything, only there. Out of the will of God only exists a selfish will, that is my will, looking for my ego. And the reason of making decisions for choosing the will of God and remaining in the will of God. Why? Because in the will of God is every gift that you can go and desire, and infinite more, I mean. Because you cannot think or desire or want or imagine what God has prepared for you in this life if you love Him. And loving Him is not having a feeling with God, it's doing His will. That is loving God. We love God if we do His will. I mean, love of God is not thinking or no, it's doing His will. You love God when you want to do His will. More you love God, more you want to do His will. Why? Because it's no good out of the will of God. It's not good for you, it's not good for your wife, it's not good for your husband, it's not good for your children, it's not good for anyone. Only in the will of God is all good and the fullness of good for everyone. But in the moment we are continue looking for our will, means that is the expression of the saints. Believing means doing the will of God. Is there, I mean, today in the I don't want to, but it's here. I mean, it's the translation of the divine office today, the second reading, that you haven't read. The treatise against the heresies has some parts that are a little boring, but other, it's amazing, San Irenaeus. I mean, the understanding of this guy of the mystery of God and the mystery of salvation, I mean, is really, I mean, he talks, he's the one who talks about why God created us. God created us only for one thing, because He wants vessels for receiving His graces. It's the only reason you exist. For receiving the graces of God. But who of us is living there? I mean,
you exist because God has created you because He can give you more than animals. When you are not there, you are worse than an animal because you are trying to find outside what you cannot find. God is wanting to pour in you amazing things, but depend on how you open to Him. The only one who was totally open to God always is Mary, full of grace. Why? Because she was always under that amazing action of God. And she's our mother, but she's our model. So God wants to do something similar in us, but depend on our faith. Blessed are you, Mary, because you have believed. And God can work in us in the measure of our faith and our hope. This is the expression. To believe in Him means to do His will. To believe in Him means to do His will. So we believe in God when we are trying to do His will. I mean, it's a beautiful text talking about the Son and how the Son reveals the Father, and a beautiful text that you haven't read it, you can look for it. I mean, it's the reading of the Divine Office of today, the second reading. The first is about the Buddha of Sirach and wisdom, and the second is about Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, the Son of God, the Word of God, and how God reveals through His Word in creation and in salvation, in everywhere. I mean, these guys have a whole vision of the thing that was amazing. I have the limited vision that I have. Whoop, good.
I don't have to lose my faith. So about this there, I mean. So we're going to try to go deeper, I think, in the mystery of the mercy of God for us. That is everything. I mean, Christian life is about the mercy of God. Because the mercy of God has a name. It's a person. It's Jesus. That is the personification and the incarnation of the mercy of God. Jesus. And he came for teaching us the mercy of God. Because our weakness is more than something that we can endure. And only in the mercy of God we can endure it with joy and with peace. And this is the biggest problem of spiritual life. The biggest problem of spiritual life is accepting my weakness. But I insist, when you believe in God, it's not so difficult. Because it's all joy. It's all fullness, but it's coming to the truth. And charity rejoices in the truth. What truth? The truth of myself, of course. That is the most difficult of all truths. The others, the truth of yourself, your problem, but the truth of myself is my problem. And knowing myself is something that, I mean, if I understand his mercy, or is a little tough, I mean, but Jesus and the essence of the mercy of God. So is his son. Is his son crucified and resurrected? That is the mercy of God. This is the Paschal mystery. All the Paschal mysteries, all the action of the church is founded in this mystery of the mercy of God. It's all that. I mean, it cannot be any relationship with God out of the mercy of God. It's impossible. In the human situation after original sin, it's impossible. And the thing that is the spiritual life is coming to the knowledge of myself. That is called humility, because it's connected with this mercy. So humility is the key of every thing, because it's self-knowledge. Santa Teresa of Avila talked constantly about this. So if you are in prayer and your prayer is good, you have to finish always with self-knowledge, with humility. And Mother Teresa of Calcutta is the same, exactly the same. I mean, knowing who I am before God, and what is my weakness and my poverty, but at the same time, his love for me. See, there is a problem that is connected with all the the way of understanding ourselves in this society, that is connected with a false way of knowing ourselves. And the point is that it's all about this craving for perfectionism, because how can I understand that somebody is going to love me if I am weak? How somebody is going to love me if I am weak, if I am miserable, if I am poor, if I am little, if I'm not? I mean, I need to have a very high self-esteem, thinking highly about me, when it's not the truth. So, but from childhood, they are educating us to being there. Because our parents are not teaching us the mercy of God, because probably they don't know the mercy of God. And now they are teaching us, you have to be perfect. Okay, how that is going to happen? Only one way, lying to myself. And we are all of us there from childhood. And that is the reason salvation is that we are not justified by our actions, by our righteousness. We are justified by the mercy of God, by Jesus Christ. It's a big change. It's a whole change in the heart. Because now I don't need to cover nothing. It's the contrary. More I open, more graces he's going to give me. Because when I am weak, I am strong. And my weakness is my power before my God. And so it's a total change of mind. And that is the plan of faith. That is a way of living that is contrary. I don't need to justify myself, because I don't need the love of the others. I need the love of God. And now I am opening to the love of God instead of keeping myself trying to be loved by others. And you know how hard is that, how difficult is that, and how unsuccessful is that, because we don't get any love. There is the problem of marriage, there is the problem of educating children, there is the problem of our human relationships, that we are, because we are not looking in the love of God, that is his mercy, we are trying to find love in others, and now we need to be perfect. Instead of being truthful, we need to be perfect. And now things doesn't work. I mean, because God is not asking you to be perfect with your children. God is asking you to be humble with your children. So because you are a mediation, and the mediation is always humble, knowing that it's not achieving the fullness of the goal. And that is what is humility. Humility is understanding, and it's the same in marriage. I cannot fulfill your heart. Eh? And because I can't. I mean, it's not that I don't want, it's that I can't fulfill your heart. But no, all couples that I see coming to marriage prep, they are thinking that they are going to be very happy because they are going to make each other happy. Yes, very happy.
I mean, they are all there. I mean, and this is the problem of sexuality. The problem of sexuality is a problem that is, because I think that I'm going to make the other happy, we don't need God, so we can go in sex. And we have a very good relationship that is going, we are going to make you happy, yes. I mean, as you can understand, the thing is separating a person from God is separating a person from happiness. It's the very same thing. And now thinking that I'm going to make happy the other person. But I mean, this is original sin. So you understand the depth of the problem. What? The pretension of making a person happy without God. That is original sin. And was a woman who tried to do that. Why? Because who has the gift? Why? Because God gives the gift for what? For bringing that the man to happiness. How? Through the body of the woman, but not through the selfishness of the woman. In the moment the woman broke her relationship with God, her interior life, that is the beginning of all the human problems. Some question about this? It's important to understand the problem. Because continue being. Not something that happened 2,000 or 25,000 years ago. Continue being the same problem today. In our hearts. And every woman has to make always a choice of being a mediatrix or being a seducer. And it's a choice that she has to make. Why? Because God gives missions, and the missions are there, and continue being there, and get God never go back in his missions and vocation. Never is never. As the father, when the father is not doing his mission, the children has problems. Why? Because the mission continue being the mission. I mean, and the mission of the father is opening to God. It's only that mission. As the mission of the woman is opening the man to God. And that God gives mission to the people, and the missions are continue being there. We open to God, we accomplish the missions. But we need to open to God. I mean, because. But it's all about this. I mean, because now in the weakness that we are, we need more His grace. So where sin abundance, grace superabundance. You know, it's Romans 5, 28 or 20. I am sure of that the verse. So where sin is, God has poured more graces. So it's not a problem, our sins. That is what He's saying. That our sins is a way of receiving more graces because Jesus came to save sinners. Right? Not those who are righteous. And the point of us is that we pretend to be righteous. And this is... Right. The T is before or after the H? TH, no? Yeah. Righteous. But I mean... Now depend on us how we understand that we don't need to be righteous before God. We need to open to His love. Because the salvation is given by love. And what you need is love. We have talked a lot about that. What you need more is love. You don't have love, you have nothing. You have love, you have everything. So, and the need that you are in most need in your heart is to be loved. Of all the things that is your greatest need is that. Because the way you understand your meaning and your life and your person and your beauty and your dignity and your greatness and your and from there are coming all the other things. But first thing is love. And that love in this situation that we are living can be poured in our hearts only through mercy. So act because the problem is here, God cannot pour His mercy. Why? Because he's the person who is protecting himself, trying to make himself better than others, comparing with others, judging other people, criticizing other people. And in that moment, I am lost. Why? Because I am excluding myself from my own problem. I'm thinking that the others have the problem, not me. That's the reason it's so easy to judge the others and so difficult to judge yourself. How easy we put down other people and take the defects of the other people. But how easy I take my defects? Because I am my own judge, I am not judge of the others. So this is the thing that is in this point, we have to understand that this is a problem for this, because God is infinite love.
is infinite tenderness, is infinite kindness, but God cannot pour his love out of truth. It's clear, this concept. I think it's the most important concept in Christian life. God cannot work out of truth. The Father cannot give the Holy Spirit out of his Son, because the Holy Spirit is coming from the Father and the Son, and the Son is the truth. So the problem of humanity is pretending to find love out of truth, and that is impossible. And that is the problem of all humanity. It's your problem, it's my problem. It's pretending to find, and that is in our relationship is the same. I mean, God has revealed himself for saying, I mean, I love you in a way that you cannot understand, and I love you until the cross. I love you with a love that surpasses your understanding, your thinking, and whatever. But that love is only poured in the truth of yourself. And all this revelation of the mercy of God is for we come to the truth of ourselves. That is difficult. If you don't want, very difficult. It's the toughest thing that exists. But if you want, it's very easy. Because it's becoming little, becoming humble, becoming a child of God and living from God and his love. And stop pretending to be before others what I am not. But it's a choice that we have to make, because that means to be Christian. Because Jesus, as you know, he faced these guys very strongly. The Pharisees. I know how to write. Jesus faced them. Why? Because they pretend to be righteous. And Jesus came to save sinners, and he was eating and drinking and having and talking with sinners, and these guys get very upset because he was doing that, thinking that they were good, and the others were evil, and were bad, and were not according to the law, according to all the rules that they have for showing an external purity, when they were totally corrupted in their hearts. Because they don't have the most important thing, that is love and mercy. And Jesus said that to them directly. I mean, it's not that you don't have to do this thing, but when you have the most important thing, that is mercy and love in your heart, whatever you have is nothing. So the thing here is understanding that God doesn't do the things for bothering us. God is the giver of everything to everyone. And whatever we have is a gift of him. But at the same time, we are not using these gifts for loving the others and giving ourselves to others. We are using our gifts for showing off, and the others recognize us, value us, and think that we are good. That we are good priests and good preachers or good writers or good there. Or good. And instead of looking for serving others and being humble, we are pretending to attract the others to us. And in that moment, I mean, it's all egocentric behavior that is destroying love. Because, I mean, we are images of God, but the image has to reflect the original, and the original is infinite love in itself. And now the only way of coming to love is this virtue that is born from faith. It's clear the point. I mean, faith in what? Faith in the mercy of God. And all Christian life is about faith in the mercy of God, because all Christian life is about Jesus Christ. And the love God has for me being a sinner. And whatever is happening in your life, God continue loving you. Whatever is your thinking, he continue loving you. Whatever is your selfishness, he continue loving you. Whatever is your behavior, he continue loving you. And that is the mercy of God, that he doesn't love me because I am good. He loves me because he is able to make me good if I open to his mercy. And that is the condition. It's the only condition that he's asking me, to open into the truth. God is not asking us any other thing. He's asking us, come to the truth. I love you with a love that is my Son crucified. And this is the way I am loving you now and here. But for coming to this love, you need to come with your truth, what you are, what is my lack of love. Because my measure is my lack of love. My anger, my frustration, my disappointment, my living in my head thinking, my impatience, my lack of joy, my lack of peace, my lack of kindness to the people who are not treating me well, and all these things that are showing me every day to me. Because maybe I am behaving externally well, but the problem is not outside, it's inside. And God is there, and he knows you're inside, as he knows everything. And this is a tough, I insist, it's very easy, it's becoming little.
If you don't want to be little, the thing is problematic. Because all the spiritual life is becoming very little. It's becoming a baby in the hands of your father. So he can do his work of love through you. But that means that I have to become little. I mean, you know, I don't know if you, Peter gave you the other day the text of Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus about the mercy of God. But Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus is all about this. It's understanding his faith in the mercy of the Father. That is expressed in Jesus Christ, of course. I mean, the Father, nobody knows the Father except the Son. So Jesus came to teach us who is the Father. But where Jesus taught me that he's the Father? In the cross. That is the way the Father is loving you. The other day I was a guy. A guy. General guy. That is supposedly a well-formed, informated person that is teaching others. He talked about that Jesus was being punished in the cross. He said, what are you writing? I mean, but many of us has this thinking, because this is a well-informed guy. I mean, the Father is suffering with Jesus. When you think the country, you are not thinking in the way God revealed himself. The Father is Jesus. Me and the Father are one. Who sees me sees the Father. And he said that just before going to the Passion. I mean, I cannot do nothing without the Father. So thinking that the Father is punishing the Son is like a horrible thinking about God that is projected from your parents or whatever relationship you have had in your life, that distorted totally the heart of God in your life. I mean, God is dying with his Son in a mystical way, as Mary. Yes, Mary is who reflect the is the icon of the Father. He's the Mary is dying spiritually, mystically, a sword is piercing her heart. I mean, and that is the mystery of the Father, because Mary is the icon of the Father. He's not there upset or angry or I mean, thinking that the Father is punishing his Son is a Lutheran thing. That is the reason Lutheranism is so horrible. I mean, sorry for somebody has, or what is that? I mean, Luther thought that the Father was punishing the Son, and that is the reason he didn't punish us. I mean, because he punished his Son, and now his wrath was satisfied. I mean, what a horrible thinking about God, no? But that's what it was saying, no? The Father was punishing Jesus because somebody has to be punished, no? That is the idea behind. Something is wrong, somebody has to be punished. Who is that? My dad, of course. My dad was not such, was a kind guy, but even he has some... I mean, it's a weird way of thinking of God. But has been pervading the church for years. You read it even in the books of the saints. You read St. Margaret of Alacoque and some expressions are there. I mean, but how can that be? And this beautiful woman, that is Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus, I mean, make a revolution inside the church in a time of Hansenism. You know, Hansenism is that. He's thinking the justice of God, that God is a punisher and he's looking for justice. He's looking you, you are not good, he's going to punish you. I mean, I will say another thing in brackets. Is more punishment than sinning and separating from God? Can be more punishment than you separating from the fountain of life, love, beauty, happiness, and joy and peace? The greatest punishment that you are making in your life is your own sins. You are punishing yourself. You are the only punisher. God doesn't need to punish anyone. Yeah? Because going away from God is the greatest punish than it sins. In eternal life is called hell. Why? Because it's separating from God forever. But there is no punishment. I mean, God doesn't need to punish anyone. We are punishing ourselves constantly because of our behavior. But God was trying is to, and this woman that was in that time of Hansenism, that the sister were afraid what God was going to, the punishment of purgatory, he came, and because she, God, obviously God goes through the natural things also, he gave her an amazing father, that you know is a saint also, that was so merciful, so kind, so involved with him, his marriage, so loving her children and loving that she understood it's impossible, that the idea this
even the general idea of people in that time was this Hansenism, the justice of God. She understood that it's impossible. I mean, I know my dad. How is going to be God a punisher? I mean, and he knows Jesus also, and he transformed the church because the faith in the mercy of the Father. And the faith and the mercy of the Father in my heart become two things: trust and humility. And this is the way of the child, of the children of God. And it's all that, it's so simple as that. It's all that. It's of trust and humility. Why? Because knowing his faith, how I am not going to, knowing his mercy, how I am not going to trust in him. And knowing my weakness, but I know my weakness, I know that I am nothing. I mean, you have the text of her, I will give you the paper, but I mean, try to, all the spirituality of Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus is that, it's understanding the amazing mercy of God. And from that faith in the mercy of the Father is all her spirituality. This is a question that a sister made to her. You are ever seeking to be as little children are, but tell us what must be done to obtain the childlike spirit, remaining little. What does it mean? Remaining little means to recognize one's nothingness, to await everything from the goodness of God, to avoid being too much troubled of our faults. Finally, not to worry over amazing spiritual riches, not to be solicitous about anything. Even among the poor, while a child is still small, he is given what is necessary. But once he is grown up, his father will no longer feed him and tell him to seek work and support himself. Well, it was to avoid hearing this that I have never wished to grow up, for I feel incapable of earning my livelihood, which is eternal life. Amen. It's difficult, yes. Remaining little is difficult because every one of us is always trying to be the first and the greatest, instead of being the least and the last. And that is what is all the spirituality of this woman, is becoming little. Why? Because we are very little, not because he is trying to bother. She is the greatest saint of the church, the modern time, but at the same time is the one who is more aware of her poverty and nothingness. Right? Because the problem is there, it's inside us that we are pretending to be. And this pretension led us away from God. Because you are what you are, you are not what you think, you are what you truly are. You want to climb the mountain where God wishes to you to descend it. He's awaiting you in the fruitful valley of humility. God doesn't work out of humility. He can, because humility is only one thing, it's self-knowledge, it's truth. To me, it seems that humility is truth. I don't know whether I am humble, but I do know that I seek the truth in all things. The one thing which is not open to envy is the lowest place. Here alone, therefore, there is neither vanity nor affliction of spirit. Yet the way of man is not his own. And sometimes we find ourselves wishing for what dazzles. In that hour, let us in all humility take our place among the imperfect and look upon ourselves as little souls who at every instant need to be upheld by the goodness of God. From the moment he sees us full convinced of our nothingness and hears us cry out, "My foot stumbles, Lord, but thy mercy is my strength." He's quoting the psalm. He reaches out his hand to us, but if we attempt great things even under the pretext of zeal, he deserts us. It suffices, therefore, to humble ourselves, to bear with meekness our imperfections. Herein lies for us true holiness. This is his written. I mean, it's not something that I'm inventing. The problem that we are trying always to show off. I mean, and Christian life is to make myself smaller, because more I am in the hands of God, more is the action of God. The one who was more aware of her nothingness was Mary.
in that fullness that we cannot understand. Why? Because she knows who is God and who is her. It's not a matter of thinking. It's a matter of who is God and who am I. What can I do out of God? And in the smaller I am, the more powerful is the action of God. You know the expression of Mother Teresa, I am a smallest pencil in the hands of God. If God finds a smaller, I am a small pencil in the hands of God. If God finds a smaller pencil, he will do greater things to him or her. Why? Because this is about the action of God. And in the moment we think that we are getting, and she is always in that. I mean, it's not, Yuri Santa Teresa of Avila, at the end of his life, she's totally aware. I mean, she was dying and something happened that she get impatient for a moment with a sister and say, how happy I have seen my poverty and my nothingness in the moment of my death. I mean, how would you feel? Oh, I am my fault, how am I a sinner? No, he was living from the mercy of God. I mean, she has no problem with her weakness and her poverty. But I insist, this is the biggest problem of human of spiritual life, is accepting our weakness and our lack of love. Jesus put it very clear. I mean, you have it here. I mean, it's not that the saints are inventing something. No, without me, you can do nothing. That is total humility. These words passing from here to my heart, understanding that in the moment I go a millimeter from God, an inch from God, my ego is working again. And these guys that know that, they were there, were letting God to do his work in them always. The only one who was in total, always openness to that action of God is Mary. And that reason God did so amazing things through her. But now it depends on us. I mean, it's this is not feelings. These are choices. And the choice is called this, faith. Because faith is faith in the mercy of God. The cross and the passion. So it's not only the cross, it's the passion. How much he suffered. I mean, the scorching of Jesus. The insults. The disdain that they did to him. And how he behaved before those actions that they were doing to him. Why? Because his humility and his trust in the Father. Because in Jesus is the same in his humanity. I mean, because he's totally open to the action of God. And the reason he's so powerful. But in the cross and the passion, what he is teaching us, how God loves me. That is the passion of Jesus. It's how God loves me. That is the passion of Jesus. He came to die for you. And he repeats that in every Eucharist. So we understand that this is not an action that happened 2,000 years ago. It's happening now. So that love of God is now trying to work in you and in me. But depend on you and in me. Don't depend on my faith, that I understand his love for me. And then depend on my trust. So how I am truly awaiting everything from him. I mean, the reason that Teresa is all about expecting and awaiting everything from God. And the reason God did so amazing things in this woman with 24 years, because he passed to God in 24 years, and she was one of the holiest saints of the church. And he made a revolution inside the church because that trust and confidence, and it's all about the mercy of God, is bringing something that is in the gospel, that was in some way forgotten. What? That God is love, only that. And his love always, in every action, but he needs, for coming to love, he needs something. What? I mean, what is the object of mercy? What is the object of my sight, of my eyes? Colors. My eyes don't hear sounds, no? My eye only see colors. Red, blue, and other colors. Black, gray, whatever. So the object of the eye, so we understand the things, is color. The object of the ear, what is? Sounds, no, hear things. The ear don't see things. The ear don't see colors. The object of the ear is sounds. And the same, we go to the other senses. The object of mercy is my misery. And all revelation is about the mercy of God. All revelation is about how I open my misery to the love of God. More I open, more he works in me. I mean, and this is a peace and a joy because I don't need to show nothing to anyone. I don't need to pretend to be anyone. I
and love in the truth of myself. I don't need to be good for being loved. You are loved in the truth of your being. I mean, and that is very important, because in the moment you pretend to be loved, and why we get upset and discouraged and disappointed when we fail? Because we are not looking for the truth of ourselves, because the person who is living in the mercy of God never discouraged. Never is never. Why? Because I discover something, I grow in the love of God. So, and it's the way of growing that is Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus. It's all about that. It's that my weakness is not a problem. The only problem is how I open that weakness to the one who is mercy with my Savior. And he's my Savior because he's waiting me to give him what I have. What? The truth of what I have. Not what I would want to have. Because what I would want to have is not real. What is real is what I have. My impatience in this person, my lack of love to this person, my wanting to do other things. I mean, and these things that are in our heart that are always there. And we can open all them to God always. Why? Because he's love and he's wanting to pour his love in you. But he cannot pour his love out of the salvation. I mean, these things that can be easy say, they are difficult sometimes to live. Because it can be painful to know myself. And that is what I understand when people I know that they are growing in a spiritual life is because they become to know, they begin to know themselves. And they begin to know their weakness. And they begin to get afraid because they are knowing themselves. And that is a little painful. Because all the construction that I have done in my head about who I am is now like being crushed. For what? For letting a space to God, because that is the only thing God is asking you, is to live in the truth, so in live in the total dependence on his love, so you can be in fullness of love always, and you can bring love to others. Now, is all this chapter 15 of St. John, it's all that. It's all that remain in my love, but God, how am I going to remain in his love without understanding my weakness? Because love is coming from God.
It's only hard because your husband's been right all along.
Sorry?
It's only hard because you know your husband's been right all along.
Yes, I mean, but why marriage is so difficult? Because we think that we blame the other instead of blaming myself. Instead of changing myself and coming to humility, understanding I need to put more love, we accuse the other person because he's not doing the things right. And it's true that he or she is not doing the things right, but can I resolve the problem complaining? No way. I can resolve the problem putting more love and making the other aware of his dignity, because that is what God wants me to bring there. But if I complain, that is my misery, and I can open it to Jesus and I can chain it. Why? Because I can chain everything when I am in the love of God. Salvation is communication of the love of God. Salvation is not a feeling. All sins and all this pride thing and pretending to be good is coming because you and I, we want to be loved. It's clear the point. I mean, from childhood, you desire that your dad love you was your craving for perfectionism. And that desire of your dad loving you that was not there, it was making you because your dad, because sometimes our dad are not trying to bring us to the love of God. You know that he get upset if you do the things wrong, and now you are afraid, and now you think that for being loved you need to be perfect. That is the majority of people in from childhood. I mean, why? Because that relationship with their dad. Because for getting the love of their dad, they need to do the things right, and now they create inside them. I think I cannot be imperfect because I am perfect. My dad, the child don't make a reasoning about this. The child behave according to what he is experiencing. That is the lack of love of his dad. Why? Because if my dad loved me when I am doing what is right, my dad doesn't love me. I mean, he's trying to make me in a way of perfectionism that has nothing to do. My dad has to encourage me to do what is good, but he has to show me always love, especially when I am weak. Because that is the love of God, no? I mean, but that is not happening. And so from childhood, we create an ego that is protecting ourselves and trying to be perfect. And now we try to bring that to marriage.
And it's an, again a big thing that when Saint John is talking about love in the chapter, in the beautiful letter of love, that is the first letter of Saint John, that is a letter of faith also. He's talking about the love of God and how amazing is that God is love, is the definition of God as love. But, and you know, there is also this, and for twice he did it, and then he put it, what is love. The chapter 4, he's talking these words that are amazing about the how all is about love. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. And now in the verse 9, in this way the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. So the love of God is coming from, living from him. And this is love. And how put it clear? Not that we have love. The truth is that we don't love. And this is love. But that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. So we can love in his Son. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. And he's talking always about the present moment, because it's about living from the love of God. Because the one who is loving is begotten by God, is being born from God. I mean, this is the core of all things in a spiritual life. Why? Because I cannot live with God out of his mercy. It's impossible. It's impossible. I mean, I don't want to go there, but all the nights, the dark nights of the soul and of the spirit are only one thing, self-knowledge. Why? Because God is light and is love. And now he shows you, because you want, because if you don't want, God lets you go your own ways. God shows you what are your intentions, why you are doing the things, what is your looking for pleasure, what is your looking for, what is the spiritual pride, what is the spiritual vanity, what is the spiritual gluttony, what is the spiritual greediness. And God shows you that, and it's painful. I insist in the point, if you from the beginning are putting the mercy of God in the center of everything, understanding that your weakness is not a problem, and your weakness is more than you can know, I don't think the dark nights are softer. Why? Because in that moment you are in the disposition of accepting what God is showing you. Why? Because what God wants is that, I mean, the problem is that we have an understanding of ourselves that if we were individual, self-sufficient beings, this is original sin. We are totally dependent beings. We depend on God. And God is the giver of everything to everyone, especially love. In the moment we are not living from him, our ego is there taking the place of God. And God has created us for living from him. And this is a matter of being. It's not a matter of thinking. It's not a matter of ideas. It's not a matter of psychology. It's not a matter of philosophies. It's a matter of how God made us. And we need his love for being ourselves. We need to open to his love. And in this situation that every one of us has in this world, the only way of remaining in the love of God is remaining in his mercy. Cannot be in any other way. I mean, in the moment I want to go away from his mercy, in that moment I am losing God, because I am pretending to be out of God something. I am pretending that my ego is going to whatever, thinking about myself. And in that moment I am losing God. It's not that God doesn't love you. It's that I am not accepting my truth, that is humility. And you read Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus. You read Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And even more. I mean, I have read a lot of books on Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I have The Constitution of the Sisters by Grace of God. And I mean, it's amazing how she understands herself and wants the sisters to understand themselves about their poverty, their sinfulness, their I mean, why? Because in the moment I am not living from God, and that is the way of mercy, that is understanding better his mercy, so I never separate from God. Without me, you can do nothing, and now I can remain in his love. But in the moment I am not living from his mercy, that is the only way of changing my inside, because only his love can change my inside, in that moment I am pretending. And the moment I am pretending, you can test how that is happening in your life, in your thinking, in the ways you are living, and how I am living from his love. Because I mean, my sins, have this clear, are not a problem for God, are a something that they can use always for coming to God. It's clear at this point, I mean, because this is the point of mercy. The point of mercy is that my sins and my failures and my weakness are not a problem, are my power before God, because he's my savior and he has come to take sins. So more I open these things to him, and I'm not going here big sins. No, I mean, can be big sins, but I'm talking about this pride that is coming, this vanity that is coming, this anger that is coming, this impatience that is coming, this laziness that is coming. How I open these things to God in my daily life. So the concrete things that are in your heart in every moment, in the relationship with this guy, when you are driving, the speed that you are taking, these things, am I learning to open to God for receiving his grace? Because that is the concrete path of salvation. It's not about a kind of intellectual thing. No, it's how I am opening to God, my real being, what I have in where. The moment you go out, I mean, and you are there at home, and what do you want to do? How I am wasting my time? All these things that are working in us, that are we opening them to God? And that is what is about his mercy, that God is loving you in this moment, but he needs what? The truth of what is in your heart. And more you come to the power of God, more you come, because the salvation is not about Jesus crucified. Salvation is about Jesus crucified and resurrected. So it's about the power of God for changing everything inside you. That is mercy. So mercy is not that God loves you. Mercy is that God, in his love, has the power for changing everything inside you. That is mercy. You can read the encyclical of John Paul II. That is amazing about mercy. And he makes a definition of mercy. And mercy is not a kind of compassionate gaze of God to our poverty or evil. No, it's the power of God for changing everything that is in our heart that is contrary to love. But I need to open it to God, because this is not a magician action of God. This is an action of God that is founded in my free will and in my wanting to let God to be God in my heart. And the only way I can do that is through his mercy, because my weakness and my poverty surpass our understanding. The point is that because we have from childhood, it's not only this, it's not only this problem of my dad, and no, it's that at the same time we have, as you know, a mechanism of justification. It's also called mechanism of defense. It's also called mechanism of rationalization. For putting it clear, is a mechanism of lies. Is that it was. But in every book of the greater thing that Freud afforded to psychology is this mechanism. It's the only thing that was really good. He understood that men are huge liars about themselves, and they cover up everything, and they have now neurotic behaviors because they are covering the truth of themselves. And in his courage and in his pride, he said, my psychology is only one thing, is helping the people, because only the truth makes you free. But it's true what he's saying. Why? Because this is a mechanism of lies that children create from childhood for defending themselves, because they are not having the love of their parents, that can achieve two levels that are psychological problems in a level that, you know, what is this neurotic behaviors and these things that are all coming because a person is not loved. And now, because the desire of being loved is the meaning of being a person, the person creates a lot of defenses. But this is, we don't need to go very far. We are in a society that people who are doing abortions or working in clinics of abortion, or people who are selling drugs, or people who are whatever kind of feeble you can imagine, they think all them that they are good. So you understand the power of this mechanism. They think that they are not doing nothing wrong. Because if they think that they are doing something wrong, they have a sense of guilty and they will stop doing that or they will change their work. So this mechanism is working in every human life from childhood, you and me. And it's very strong. Why? Because I need the one of the greatest pains in the heart is that knowing myself. If I know the mercy of God, no. Why? Because we are not justified by our righteousness. We are justified by the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that changed everything. Why? Because it's the love of God what can change this and stop this mechanism that is a mechanism of lies about myself. And it's the problem of all human relationships. Why? Because people think, I mean, when you hear couples and their problems, it's all accusing the other person, only that. I mean, and where is the accusation to yourself? No, nothing. I mean, yes, probably yes. I mean, but you can understand that this is a huge thing that is there in every, but I'm talking about Catholic people, I'm not talking about strange people. Everyone accuses the others, and everyone excuses himself, so protect himself. Why? Because this thing is working. And this is a big, tough thing with God. Why? Because God cannot work in lies. He can't. I mean, God only needs an open heart that says, here I am, God. I am like this, and I know that you love me, because the foundation of everything in the spiritual life is the love of God. It's clear the point. So faith is about the love of God for me. In the moment you don't believe that God loves you, you don't believe in God, in the love that is revealed in Jesus Christ. And that a God that loved you from the cross, so loved you being a sinner. I mean, this is the, you go here to Ephesians 2, 4, that is the text that Jean Paul II used in the encyclical, God Rich in Mercy, is the title of the encyclical. But it's about the mercy of the Father, God Rich in Mercy. So in Ephesians 2, 4, no, we don't have it. We are recording here in the phone. That's the reason I am going. Not going too far. It's generosity of God's plan. Look, listen to the words. I mean, and try to make a meditation about this word because they are amazing. I mean, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We were dead. What the spirit was? Why dead? Because sin is what break my relationship with God. So I am dead, spiritually dead, because the life of the soul is God. So in the moment I am not in a relationship with God, I am dead. And God is the life. So you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you once lived following the age of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the desires of our flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, so when we were there, the great mercy and love of God for us. It's calling. But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, so even when we were separated from him by our sins, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we may show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is a gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. I mean, it's all about the action of God. I mean, it's Romans 8, 28, 32.
or 39 is the same. It's all about the action of God. The thing is that we are in a society. I was reading Ratzinger yesterday, and the original sin is the self-made. I can, without relationships, I can be myself. Okay, but without relationships, I mean without love. Because if you can make yourself without relationship, means that you can make yourself without love. But what you are? You can be a monster, but not a person of love. Because you need love. I mean, the bottom of your heart and the, in everything that you want and you need. So the thing here is understanding that this mercy of God breaks this mechanism. And now you can have peace because you don't need to pretend nothing. You can be in peace with yourself. You can accept yourself. You can love yourself as you are. There are a lot of things that are coming from here, but in the moment we are not there. So living from the mercy of God, the things became very, very tough. Why? Because now we are pretending, and God don't need any pretension. God needs only a humble heart that is open to him in trust. And then he says these two virtues, that are the virtues that are coming from the knowledge of the mercy of God. And the mercy of God has no limits. I mean, because the mercy of God means that when I am a sinner, he loves me in a deeper way. And that you can say, how that can happen? Why? Because his love is not founded in your righteousness. That is the reason it can happen. His love is founded in himself. And he created you for loving you. And that is the reason of the good shepherd that is leaving the 99 sheep and is going to the sheep that is lost. And this is the reason, because in heaven is for 99, one sinner that convert is more joy than 99 liars that don't need conversion. And that is the reason Jesus came to this world, for showing us the mercy of God and the love of God for us being as we are. So we stop trying to be what we are not. And because all the problems of human life is this, that we are pretending. I mean, you know, when you go in, when the biggest problem in marriage, what is? That the weakness of the couple, and all that weakness is going to come out in the relationship, no? I mean, because it's there, my impatience, my laziness, my lack of tenderness and care for the other person, and all these things are coming out, and the other person see that and begin to get angry, and now his own weakness is coming out. And frustration and disappointment and now how we grow in love. I mean, a marriage without mercy is impossible. Growing in love. Why? Because when we are living from the mercy of God, we can be merciful with others. And we can not love the other person because he is good. Because I know that he's not good, as I am not good. But he has his own failures, as I have my own failures. But I can love him more, as God loves me more being weak. Without mercy, it's impossible to make a marriage in this society, in whatever time of history. Why? Because every human being is there, is with the desires of the flesh and the selfishness and the pride and the vanity and the easy anger and the easy frustration and the impatience and all these things. I mean, that mercy that has to be shown first to our children also. Because our children need mercy. The point I'm here in the school, I mean, what they are teaching the children is you have to be perfect. You have to be the first and the best. I mean, how they are going to be open to God. So they are making God a thing that is there, and now my life. And my life is all appearance, it's external thing. Because in the bottom of the heart, the children know how they are. They know their pride, they know their vanity, and a priest, and we confess children every Thursday. And they have all the problems that every human being has of pride, criticizing, judging, being mean with their brothers and sisters, not obeying their parents, lying. But no, now you need to be perfect. So God has nothing to do with your life, because in your life you had to be perfect. And now, I mean, or we teach our children the mercy of God and the love of God for them, or God becomes something that is not related to their own lives and their own growth, because they need love. But how they are going to find love? Being perfect. But you are going to find love being perfect? I mean, you can try. Because your perfection, who is going to convince? Your husband. Maybe after some time he knows that you are not so perfect.
that is the problem. The problem of love is exactly that. I mean, that the truth of the person is coming in the relationship. But I mean, here, what is the point of this meditation? It's all expressed in the most beautiful parable, Luke 15. In Luke 15, we have the revelation of the mercy of God. Jesus putting clear what is the mercy of God. And the first text is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd, I mean, is the one who is looking for the sheep that is lost. And that is God always in your life. So God doesn't care. And the people that we see in the world that they are doing wrong, God is the Good Shepherd for them. But you have to express that to them. But that is coming from mercy. It's not that we judge them, it's that we try to love them for bringing them to God. Because in the moment we judge them, they go away from us. So, but the Good Shepherd is the one who is trying to bring them to the love of God. Why? Because he's the one who is looking for them. And that is Jesus describing. And no, the expression is amazing because it's all about the love of God for the one who is lost. So the love of God for the sinner. But all revelation of God is that revelation of the mercy of God. I'm not going to that text, but you read Luke 4, 17 to 21, is Jesus proclaiming his mission. And the mission of Jesus is about the mercy of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have come to give the good news to the poor, to heal those who are sick, to free from prison those who are in prison. And he's talking about the spiritual things, and you will not say in any moment that he's talking about something that is not healing or saving. Why? Because the mercy of God is expressing his mission, that is healing our hearts. How? Giving us his free love. And what is his free love in the situation humanity is now? It can be only mercy. It cannot be in another way. Why? Because, I mean, this is pure love of God that it has no reason. It's only his love. What is the reason? From this chapter that's in Luke, all the chapter is about the mercy of God. And this is what Jesus was talking about, this thing. I mean, the tax collector and sinners were all drawing near to listen to him. But the Pharisees, so those who think that they were righteous, and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And now Jesus put three parables. You know, the first one is the parable of the good shepherd. The second is the parable of the drachma, a woman who lost a coin and is looking for it, and it's nonsense. All the parables are nonsense because it's the joy for something that is not so joyful, but in God is joy. Because he's recovering a person in his love. And that is the joy of God. I mean. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and is with them." So then he addressed this parable. What man, and you listen to the parable seems an absurd. Now, what man among you having 100 sheep and losing one of them would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? Who will do that? No one. I mean, you're going to leave 99 sheep in the desert for looking for one that is lost. Only God is that. I mean, he's expressing the with so clear. But he's saying, like, you will do the same, no? losing one of them would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it. So he will not stop until he finds it. And when he does find it, he set it on his shoulder with great joy. It's not rebuke, it's not complaining, it's not saying something. No, it's full of joy, what God has when he finds someone that is lost. I mean, it's amazing the way he's describing the heart of God. We don't live 99, and when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors. Nobody will do that. And says to them,
I miss it.
rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.
I mean, it's something that is, but it's there. I mean, it's the heart of God. What is this is describing this parable? I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance.
So we give joy in heaven when we, every time you turn to God to his mercy, you are giving joy in heaven. It's a power that God has given us. Amazing for giving joy to God. Because now he can pour his graces in me. That is what he's wanting. Pouring his love and his joy in me. It's the same thing that he's going to do with the prodigal son. I mean, he's waiting the son to come back. God is not like upset or angry or mad with the child that has gone away. No, he's waiting his coming. He's expecting his coming. In fact, I mean, we can read it, you know it. In the moment he saw the son was coming back, the father go running to the son and he embraced him and kissed him and show him the heart of God before sinners. I mean, and whatever idea we have about our sins before God are our ideas, but are not revelation of God. Because our relationship with God is not founded in what I feel or what I think about sins. No, it's what God has revealed us about ourselves being sinners and the love he has for us. Because, I mean, the love of God, I will say, is greater to the one who is sinning than to the one that is at home. I mean, it's like the heart of a mother, no? I remember an interview to a woman asking her, what of your children do you love more? She has 7 children. No, all the same. I mean, I love each one different way because they are different. But I love all with the same intensity. I love them with all my heart. I mean, I don't love one more than the other. I love different because they are different. And I don't love the same different person in the same way. But I love them totally. That cannot be. I mean, you have to be some sympathy with one of them or more attachment to one. Because, you know, there is always some kind of connection with your children. Say, no, I love them the same way. And he continued insisting in the point that he cannot love everyone in the same way. And the woman, the mother, finished with, yes, you have the reason. I love more the one who is out of home when he is out of home and the one who is sick when he is sick. Mm-hmm. And that is the heart of God. I mean, God loves more those who are sick and those who are out of his home when they are out of his home. We cannot understand that. That is the love of a mother for her children. Because God is the God of love, is true love. But I mean, but every one of us is there, because every one of us, every day, we can give a lot of joy in heaven if we convert, if we turn to God with whatever is coming to your heart, whatever kind of this day is happening in your daily life that you don't like because it's your anger or your impatience or your pride or your vanity, you can use that for coming to God always. And that is the way we come to God and we understand better the love of God and we open deeper to the love of God. And I insist, this is the point, there is any other way. And when we think that there is another way and it's our righteousness, what is going to bring God to our hearts, we are in the position of these guys who are complaining because God is with sinners. I mean, all of us, we are sinners. And that is the reason we have to stop judging others and judge ourselves. You know, the parable of the woman is the same. It's a nonsense parable. Or what woman having 10 coins and losing one would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? It's the intensity of God looking for someone who is lost. I mean, it's the same thing because it's a parable about the sinner. And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and say to them, rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost. I mean, nobody does that. I mean, the parables are like a little crazy. In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over the one sinner who repents or who turns to God. I mean, and the last is the parable of the prodigal son. That is so beautiful. I mean, it's so amazing. How is the heart of the Father? And Jesus is consciously aware, teaching us how when we turn to God with our sins, he restores us. So you know the four signs that are there, that are the sandals. First is the love of the Father. That the Father continue being Father, even the Son has disdained him. Because what the Son told to the Father is, as me, for me, as if you were dead. So give me the part of my inheritance. So that he's saying to you, to your father, I don't care about you. I mean, I don't want nothing to you. I want to live my life. So that is what the child did. But the father continued being the father, and a loving father that was, he was thinking, I will go back to the house of my father in a selfish way. They're saying, the people who are there, they have food for eating. So I am now here, I'm wanting to eat the food of the pigs, and nobody is giving me this food. So his reaction was for love to the father, was for selfishness, but God doesn't care. He wants his child coming back to the house. I mean, and now the love of the father, that is the kiss and the hugging of the father and the kiss to the child, I mean, that is the expression of the love of God for this child before he said a word. You read the parable, he didn't say nothing. And before saying nothing, the father is embracing and kissing him. So in the moment you are trying to turn to God, God is coming to you and is hugging you and embracing you. And that is what is the mercy of God. Is in this parable, it's all a revelation of the mercy of God. And he restored him the tunic, you say?
Yes, tunic.
Tunic.
You
write like this,
yep.
Tunic. The tunic, the ring, and the lamb is not the lamb, is the, how say, a little cow that is fed? The calf.
C-A-L-F.
Yes, the calf. So these are the four signs that Jesus is using that they understand it very well, because the sandals, it means freedom, that you are not a slave. The slave were barefoot, barefoot. The tonic is the dignity of the person, a person who expressed the dignity of the dressing. That is that he is restoring is in his dignity. First, in his freedom. Second, in his dignity as a child. The ring is that all my things are yours. So the father, even the son, has used the part of the inheritance. He gave the ring. You know, the ring is the way they make the signature. They don't know how to make the signature. So the ring was the sign that all my things are yours. And that is what God is doing with us. I mean, and the calf is that in the house of God is always feast when we are there. And it's always that joy, that is the joy of the feast, eating the fed calf. I mean, but that is how Jesus described. And here in the parable appeared against the problem that we were talking. Is the person who thinks that he was just. I mean, is worse than the brother. He has no love to the father. He has no love to his brother. He was envious. He's aggressive. And this guy is thinking, I have obeyed you always. And the father said, my son, sorry, is your problem. All my things are yours. The problem is in your heart. And the problem is that thinking that he was good. That is the problem of the other brother. Come out, this brother of you, this son of you that has spent his money in prostitutes and putting the things clear to the father, not wanting to go inside the house, not wanting to love his brother, not wanting and having any joy because his brother was recovered. I mean, he's a monster, but he was thinking that he was good. I mean, that is the worst of all. And that is, Jesus is describing the Pharisees, have clear, those who think that they are righteous. And that is the only problem God has, because God has no problem with sinners. He's saying it very clear in all the parables, in the three places. But it's at the same time, in the last one, it's putting, because you know, it's addressing this parable to those who were saying to him that he was eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors. Humanity can be there. I can be there. I know it very well. But we can be there. I know it very well. Yeah. Because there are two ways of living. It's the same in other dimensions, so we understand it. One is living in the secret of your heart, and your father, who is in the secret of your heart, will reward you. And the other is looking in the appearance of the world, so the people look me, desire me, and showing up to the people. That is what Pharisaism is, being seen by others. Be careful with this, because it's very deep in human heart. The desire the others appreciate me and want me, you know, it's connected with the desire of being loved. Or I am looking love in my father who is in the secret of my heart, and your father will reward you in ways that you cannot understand, or you are looking for what the others think about you. And nobody can escape from this position, I mean, because you are looking for love always. You are looking for love in God, or you are looking for love outside.
In the moment you are looking for love outside, your ego is taking the place of God, and you are now unique to pretend. It's not that you are bad. It's not that you need to put in word the mechanism of justification, and you need to find love thinking that you are better than others, and now comparing with others, judging others, having envy of others, or these things that we know that are in our heads and in our hearts. We ask God to give us understanding of His mercy. I mean, I give you the papers of Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus. Try to go deep in this text, because it's dedicated to me. I like this prayer, majority of you know it. It's an amazing prayer of Saint Claude de la Colombière about trust in God. If you have the paper, you get the paper of Saint Claude de la Colombière, no?
Yes.
So this is the prayer of trust of him. This is a prayer of trust of Saint Claude de la Colombière. I know it by heart, understand? I have prayed it so much times. Whenever you feel this courage in your life, pray it. You will know the effect. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. You pray it with your heart, you will lift up your heart in dimension that is because it's all about trust in God, and only trust in God and confidence in God. It's powerful, really powerful. For me, it has been one of my greatest help. Whatever time in my life I feel a little down, I pray it. And I assure you, the things change inside. I mean, it's a powerful thing, but it's all about the mercy of God and the trust in God that is the answer to His mercy. I mean, you have some person who is a little depressed, give it. It's something powerful. Great. Yes, Mary, to give us more understanding of that mercy of God. You know, Mary in the Magnificat, she proclaimed the mercy of God twice. So she knows very well about that mercy, that love of God for the weak and the poor and the little ones. We try to open more to that. I mean, you keep there, I assure you something. You will experience God 1,000 times more than you are experiencing Him in this moment. You keep in His mercy and in your weakness. I only say that, and I know it very well. God, more you are aware of how you need His mercy, more action of God in your life. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. And knowing that we are temples of God, God dwells in us, and this love is within you, is within each of us, and trying to transform us through His love. Give glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Try to pray during this week about the mercy of God. Try to bring it. Always you go to prayer, bring the mercy of God before you. Always. Very important.